This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 8, 2015. The 23rd Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Those words from the Epistle to the Hebrews, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, speaks about the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it can sound somewhat contradictory when you read the scriptures and it says something like, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, and have me stand up here quite frequently and emphasize that the Mass that we attend every time we come here is a representation of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Mass is first and foremost the sacrifice. It is not, as is presented so many places in our day and age, primarily, it's never a reenactment of the Lord's Supper. And it is not, first and foremost, a communion supper or a communion meal. It is the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. The meal is an element of that, but that element is a foundation pointing forward to the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ made on the cross. That is Catholic teaching, has always been Catholic teaching, this idea of the Mass being a sacrifice. Now, does Catholic teaching contradict Scripture, or does Scripture contradict Catholic teaching when we emphasize this and the Scripture say, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly? Not at all. It's not, because we have to understand what the Catholic Church teaches about that sacrifice. That sacrifice is not a new sacrifice. It is not a numerical repetition of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a representation of the one sacrifice that he made for us. The sacrifice where he shed his own blood, as that reading from the Hebrews teaches us, that as in the days past, high priests came in and they brought blood of bulls and goats and all kinds of stuff, oxen. When our Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed himself, he didn't bring the blood of an animal. He brought his own blood, divine blood. It speaks to us in there of Christ having entered not into a sanctuary made with hands, but a copy of the true one, into heaven itself. Our Lord Jesus Christ, once for all, sacrificed himself for us on Calvary. He was dead for 3 days, rose again, and ascended into heaven. Everything in the Old Testament was a picture. It was a shadow of what was going to happen. The Holy of Holies, as glorious as it was, with the Shekinah glory emanating from it, it glows. There's a pillar of fire over it during the night, and a pillar of cloud during the day. How extremely awe-inspiring would that be to see something like that? Can you imagine if every Catholic church had a pillar of fire coming out of it at night? You know, nobody would question anything. We're people of faith. We're not people of what is seen. There is something much greater than a pillar of fire in our Catholic churches. Our Lord Jesus Christ is there himself in the Eucharist. When we talk about him entering once into the heavenlies, what it's emphasizing there is that heaven is yours. Not when you die, right now. Heaven is yours. It is mine. We just need to embrace it. Heaven is yours now. Get that in your minds. It makes being here in this world so much easier to understand that heaven is ours right now. When our Lord was incarnate, he broke down the barriers between heaven and earth. There was a barrier between heaven and earth after the fall in the garden. Heaven could have nothing to do with earth because earth was now corrupted by sin. God can have nothing to do with sin. So, our Lord Jesus Christ clothes himself with flesh and comes and dwells among us. We don't have to hear words from a burning bush, as impressive as that might have been. We do not have to listen to prophets tell us about things that God showed them in dreams. We do not have to wait to have dreams ourselves. We have something so much better than that, and that thing that is so much better, that one who is so much better, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ clothed himself with flesh and dwelt among us. Okay? God doesn't speak, as I said, through bushes and dreams and prophets anymore. He speaks to us directly through his Son. In another place in the letter to the Hebrews, it says just that. It opens by that. In times past, God has spoken to us through this, that, or the other thing. I'm paraphrasing. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. We can ask for no more. And when we look at the sacrifice of the Mass, just like his incarnation made heaven a reality in this world, objectively, truly, God was here in person. He remains to be here in person in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, our Lord Jesus Christ is with us. He says he would never leave us nor forsake us. We have to appreciate that as a reality. He doesn't mean you sit around and think about what I did or think about what I said. I am there with you. I am there for you to participate in my very life. That's the Eucharist. That's the way God works. God does things and continues to work in our lives. The Old Testament, as I said before, you know, when we talk about the Holy of Holies, or even that miracle that we read about in Kings today, the miracle of the meal and the oil that didn't go away. God didn't show up every day and do another miracle so there would be more oil and more meal. He spoke through his prophet and said, the prophet says, the Lord says that you're not going to have to worry. The oil will not go away, nor will the meal and you have to realize where this lady was. I mean, she thought she was going to die, if you'll remember the reading. She and her son were starving to death. They were on death's door. And she had enough meal. They ate for, as it says, several days. They ate for several days with the meal and the oil that was there. God did a miracle, and it continued. He has done so much more in the sacrifice of the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross once for all, shed his blood for us one time, and that is enough. But just like the oil and the meal continued, so does the sacrifice. As I said, Catholic teaching does not say we re-sacrifice Christ at the Eucharist. We represent the sacrifice that he once for all endured for us. That's what we mean by the sacrifice of the Mass. It's the daily application of our Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us. Daily application. You can get kind of lost when you talk about things like this theologically. The cross and this and that. We have temporal analogies that directly speak to it, that are easy for us to understand. Medicine. St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks quite frequently, and he makes illustrations and uses analogies by way of talking about our physicality in conjunction with our spirituality. Body of Christ, run the good race, fight the fight, all this kind of stuff. Our bodies manifest our spirituality. Medicine is an excellent metaphor for what I'm trying to communicate here about this daily application of the cross every time we come to Mass, or every time, whether it be daily or not. Every time we come to Mass, the sacrifice is applied to us in a very real, very objective sense. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the physician of our souls, so to speak. We are before our baptism, as the Holy Spirit says, dead in trespasses and sins. He doesn't say you're real sick. He says you are dead in your trespasses and sins. So baptism is like the paddles that come in and they get things started again. We have life, all right? The sin doesn't go away. Or an analogy of a sickness like cancer, all right? Cancer, there can be medications that can put you in remission. Some people live for decades in remission, all right? We are corrupted by the cancer of sin. And just like in medicine, where a doctor can tell us, here, you have cancer. Take this, here's this medicine for you. Take it and you will remain well. It will keep the disease in abeyance. The medicine is the Eucharist. The physician of our souls has given us the medicine, and that is the Eucharist. But staying within the analogy, what would happen if a doctor would look at a person that had cancer? It says, here's the medicine that will keep you well. Excellent. Great. I have medicine. And the doctor holds it out and the person looks, that is so great that I have medicine that's going to keep me well. And the doctor puts it on a table and the person, look at that medicine over there. Isn't it great? It's going to keep me well. It never takes it. It's a rhetorical. What's going to happen? They're going to get sicker and sicker and sicker until they die of the disease. They can think in their mind, they can know that the medicine is there, but you got to take it. That's the Eucharist. That's why it is so important for you to share with your friends Catholicism, because the only place that you get the medicine of the Eucharist is in the Catholic Church. Oh, I can't believe you're saying that people here and people there, they don't have the Eucharist. They don't. They don't claim to. They don't claim that bread and wine becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't claim it. They deny it. They sit around and they talk about the sacrifice of Christ. They pray about the sacrifice of Christ. They love the sacrifice of Christ, but they don't take it. They deny that they have to take the medicine. I just got to pray. I just got to do that. Nope. Our faith is real. And just like our Lord Jesus Christ needed to become incarnate to come and save our souls, so He gives us the Eucharist that we need to take to keep ourselves well. It's a reality. You know, you see, the incarnation. Why didn't God? He's God. Why did He just wave His God wand and say, everybody's saved? He didn't do that. He had to come and dwell among us and die on the cross for our salvation. He needed to do that. We need to take the medicine of the Eucharist. We need to avail ourselves of the sacrifice of the Mass. It needs to be that, because that is how it is applied to us. The Roman Catechism teaches us, for as in His passion, Christ the Lord merited and satisfied for us, so also those who offer this sacrifice merit the fruit of His passion, and they satisfy. We merit the fruit of His passion, what He has done for us, but through the sacrifice of the Mass, the representation of Christ, that is the whole idea of the intentions of the Mass. Because when we present our intentions at Mass, which I beg you're doing at the Mass, in those silent times of prayer, those times of meditation, those times of offertory, that is when we offer up the prayers for those living, those dead, for our own needs, for the needs of others. We apply the medicine to those situations. We have to apply the medicine. You have to take it. You cannot just leave it sitting on a shelf and think that it's really great that it's there. You have to take it. It's not a cure. After our baptism, we continue to drop the ball in thought, word, and deed every day. We don't live in conformity absolutely to the revealed will of God. We violate it. We lack conformity to it, which is sin. We're going to deal with that, most of us anyway, as long as we're on this side. We're going to deal with that. We need the medicine to keep that sickness in abeyance. If you don't take the medicine, the sickness progresses. You can't just think about it. You just can't think it's great. You have to take it. I cannot emphasize that enough. And out of our charity, we cannot be selfish about that. Oh, I have a bunch of friends who are this and who are that and who are that, and they're good people. And I'm not denying that they're good people. But would you for 1 minute ever, in this life, ever, have someone that you knew who was sick and you had medicine for them and not tell them about it? Or go, I know they wouldn't like the medicine, so I'm not going to say anything about it to them. Or it would offend them if I told them they had to take this because they think they're okay. That's the situation of our communication of our Catholic faith to others. If you're not a Catholic, you're not in the church. If you're not a Catholic, you don't get the medicine. That's all there is to it. Again, they deny the medicine exists. It's ethereal for them. It's an abstraction. It's subjective. The medicine is real. It is concrete. And it is absolutely necessary because it prepares us for those last things, those four last things that we don't hear about all that often anymore. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Those four things. At the end of that reading today, it actually says that. Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time and not deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting him. All right? It ends up with, you know, talking about the sacrifice of Christ. It's a, he did that to prepare you for his second coming. He did that to prepare you for your death. He did that to prepare you to get to heaven and not have to bear the consequences of eternal hell. We have the medicine. We need to take it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.